absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Sunday, and guess what? Football season is right around the corner. Training camps are open. People getting hurt in training camps changes the landscape of the teams and also in fantasy football. And you know where you're at right now because you're listening to me, and this is the Master Plan, and I am JT. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 if you want to be on top of the game in fantasy football. You listen to me. We're talking about quarterbacks today in fantasy football. And we'll also be going talking about We're also going to be talking about the AFC East. I got on a rant yesterday and on the FSP show, filling in for Mr. Gardner, and didn't get to it like I want. We were supposed to get to it, so I'm doing it today, and right along with me doing it today, just like it's a extension of yesterday's show, we're moving it over today's show. I have my co-host. I am blessed to have my co-host with me today, who happens to be the father of FSP, all right? A good friend of mine. We've been going back and forth with these shows for a few years now, Mr. Vic Gardner. Hello, my man. How you doing?
Wow, you give me the hand clap? Oh,
yeah, man.
You stepping up. That means I got to be nice to you today.
Welcome, my man. Welcome.
All right. Good to be in the Master Plan, home of the old timers and geriatric diseases. But
absolutely.
Yeah, because absolute power corrupts.
Absolutely. And I want it all.
First thing I want to say is this. To all the individuals that claim they want to take on Jerry and myself, I mean, there are two individuals that actually wanted to participate in one of our leagues. One individual decided that the league was not for him. And I understand, because, you know, the scoring categories aren't your average everyday scoring categories. Thanks for stepping up. Even though you guys decided not to join, at least you did make the attempt. The offer's still out there. The draft is coming up, though. So
yes.
if I don't feel that league, you know, we'll see what happens. But come on, take on the master, take on myself. Take on the rest of the crew, see what we got, and if you're interested, put a little side money on it. I'm winning all my leagues this year, all 13. I will win all 13 leagues this year, and in the process, this.
Let me ask you one quick question, and you can finish your thought. Why are you so confident? And I know you're a confident person, but you seem like you really have an ace up your sleeve this year, that you're absolutely confident that you're going to dominate whatever league you're in. Why? Did you get what I said?
I lost you there for a minute. Sorry.
Okay, I'm saying I know you're very confident, besides the point. But it seems like you have extra confidence. Something up your sleeve that is going to help you dominate all your leagues. So why this extra feeling of confidence from you, Mr. Gardner?
Well, I'll say this. Last year, I went to 5 for 13 championships. I won 3 of them. I believe the formula is out there. And a little bit came from you. I will admit that. A little bit came from you. A little bit from this wonderful insider type of instrument I have beside me once we go over the AFC East. And the fact that I've picked up the trend of what's going on in the NFL now. I mean, I've been a fantasy football player for a long time. I've been a football player and enthusiast for even longer. So, you know, I think that we can go ahead and wrap it up and give it to me and just let everything else happen as it should be, like you falling in third, fourth, wherever you're going to land, and myself
okay.
in first.
Okay.
You know, I'm the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady, the Peyton Manning of this whole thing. Just remember
that. Oh, boy. Well, he just like, and we'll be going into the AFC, he's just like Tom Brady's perfect world has fallen apart. And a few other teams throughout the NFL, a couple of them over the weekend, have taken substantial hits. I'm looking forward to the time when you happen to take a substantial hit in the fantasy season. Anyway, I'd be remiss in saying this. We have a chat room. The chat room is always open. I wouldn't say battle, but I've gone back and forth with a few people over the last couple of weeks about in the chat room. So if you have a thought, if you have a question, want to make a comment, fine. Put it in the chat room if you don't want to talk to us, and I'll definitely respond to it. And Mr. Gardner did say that there was an open invite to anyone and everyone that wanted to join one of our leagues, specifically one of these Joes and Pros leagues we have. I gave my email address out last week. I'm not afraid to give it out again. One person responded to it last week. Now I'm gonna put it out there every week. Let me put it that way. I'm gonna put it out there every week. It's J as in the letter J. Taylor. That's one word. TAYLOR. So it's J Taylor, 342, at Comcast.net. If you want to join a league and test your prowess, test your knowledge, and test your skill in fantasy football, feel free. If you feel froggy, come on and leap on into the fire and see what you can do against us and other fantasy football aficionados, okay? I'm putting it out there. I put my email address out there so you have no excuse. You can't say, well, I don't know how to get in touch with you guys. That's my personal email address. You want to join? Come with it. Okay.
And bring your A game because I promise you, I promise you, you will not like what's going to happen to you.
Oh, boy.
I created this. I created it. I will end it. Trust me, you will be terminated.
Yeah, man, we go back. Let me see now. You know, and I was a little, as old as I am, I was a shy caller in. I guess for the first few months I was there, I wasn't really, but then you created a monster.
I see that. But you know what? I'm glad I did because, you know, you become one of the best assets and best friends that I have right now. So,
okay.
I'm glad you did decide to jump in and steal all of our stinking prizes. I decided to make you part of the show so you couldn't win any more of our prizes. I still want my autograph, Ray Lewis, back.
Oh, no.
You haven't sold it already.
No. I'm keeping on that, man. You kidding me? No. Future Hall of Famer, man. No.
What else did you win from us?
I won that. I'm trying to think what else was it. There was a couple of things I won.
Yeah, I know, because I remember sending them to you.
I had won some tickets, but I couldn't get to the place, so I had to give up those tickets.
Yes.
To an Indianapolis Colts game, yeah.
Yeah, the Colts and Philly game. Yeah.
I want a calendar. A swimsuit calendar or something like that. What it was?
Yeah.
So it is what it is. So anyway,
I think I'm gonna do that again.
Is that right?
Fall season. Yeah.
Can I join
I'm back
it?
From? No, you cannot. How can the host win? The host can't win, but...
I'll stop being a host for that show.
Whatever. No, you won't. When when I come back from my 2.5 month long event...
Again? Wow.
Yeah, I know, dude. I know.
Are you definitely going? Is that it?
Yeah, I just got confirmation yesterday that I'll be going.
Oh, God. So when are you leaving and when are you coming back?
Next Sunday.
Are you
and
serious?
I don't come back. Yep. And I don't come back to the middle of October.
Oh, my God. I know Mrs. A is not too happy about that.
No.
Wow. But
that's what it is. I'll be drafting on my phone and in my little hotel room. Which is fine because I did the same thing last year, and I guess I got to get away in order to make things happen. That's how I win the championships.
Oh, boy.
But you know what I'm going to do?
Next year,
I'm going to go to Vegas and join one of their leagues. Since we're so close, I'm going to go sign up for something in Vegas.
Really? They have open league drafting in open member drafting in Vegas.
You gotta join one of these leagues, and then they take you to like one of the conference rooms and one of the casinos, and you just do it. So I'm gonna find one next year.
Really?
Yep. Take my wife on a trip to Vegas again, but for that one day, that's the plan. I'm going to draft live in Vegas.
When does draft usually take place?
Around August, mid August, something like that.
Oh, so it's next month. It's not like this month, and then you gotta wait it out, and make sure that some of the players that you drafted don't get hurt.
Correct.
You have a better idea of who's what and what, who's doing, who's going to do something in August versus drafting before the preseason starts.
Like I've done all this year. But, you know, speaking of that, you've got players going down, big-time players going down. Dennis Pitta gone for the entire season. Jeremy Maclin gone for the entire season. Players that people have already drafted and were expecting some things. Ed Dixon has to step up. Bradley Cooper, who did a good job being a number three guy. I don't know if he's the number two guy now. DeSean Jackson has to step up and be the number one receiver in Philadelphia now. Who else?
Wait a minute, Dallas Cowboys defense. Before you go there, 3 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I was going back and forth with a guy on the chat room, and one of the people he talked about. And I forget what the conversation was, but I didn't like Percy Harvin for some reason, and I kept on telling him that Percy Harvin was injury prone, and he told me no way, Percy Harvin needs to get drafted high or something like that. I said, you draft him. I hope I'm in your league and you draft him because he is a very injury prone athlete. And apropos as it is. Over this past week, he's gotten hurt, and it's been back and forth. That's one of the other ones that got hurt, and he was one of the bigger acquisitions over the off season. Percy Harvin getting hurt and having a hip flexor or some type of hip problem or whatever it is, going back and forth of whether he's going to require a operation or he's going to try to tough it out.
Nothing that takes away when you start a contract.
Exactly. And that, in my opinion, takes away he's dropping down the board significantly because of that. And the caller, I hope you're listening. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. Percy Harvin is very injury prone. He's a dynamic player when he's on the field. He's only lost, I think he's missed 10 games since he's been in the NFL, which is not a lot, but it's a significant amount. I think it's 10 games, maybe less than that. But he's injury prone. So even if he's on the field, he may not perform to his optimum level because he's dealing with some type of injury. I told you so, caller. I told you so. But what do I know? You knew more than me. Huh?
How did your back feel?
Excuse me?
Does your back feel? How does your back feel?
No. But I told.
So hard.
But I told the guy, and the guy was adamant. If you had seen some of the stuff he put on the chat, you would have said, you know, this guy, and this one, the first guy who said he wanted to get into the league, and then he backed out. So, which is fine. Which is fine. But it is what it is, and I just, you know, I call it like I see it. Some people don't like the way I call it like I see it, but I call it like I see it. Anyway, Mr. Gardner,
yes.
One of the first things we want to talk about, I didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to the show yesterday, but I was ranting on the whole hour that I was on the show about Major League Baseball and the things that are being done to Ryan Braun and A-Rod. And the other individuals that are on that list.
Did that hurt your fantasy team, by the way? A-Rod.
No.
Okay.
He's sitting on the bench. I'm still doing my thing with the players I have. He's just an added piece if he ever gets on the field, if the Yankees ever let him play. That's all I – so I grabbed him quick. He's not hurting anything. He's not. He's on a DL. So I got three DLs. So I have space on my roster to keep him. When and if he starts playing, it's just another weapon that I'll put in because my pitching sucks.
Yes,
that's all
does.
I got to say, huh?
Yes, I said yes. It does.
Yes, my pitching absolutely sucks.
I'll take Verlander off of you for a low end pitcher. I'll give you Carlos Gomez.
Carlos Gomez? Who the heck is that? I don't. You give me Jose Fernandez for Verlander. How's that? Straight up.
I'll give you
Jose Fernandez.
Let me go look at my team real quick.
Oh, boy, here we go.
I mean, finish with talking about, but I'll just let you know that for Verlander, I'll give you who's equivalent. I'll give you Dustin.
Oh, no, see, don't even go there. Stop it. He's still Justin Verlander, and he may come out of this funk. So I'm taking the chance by giving him up on the cheap. How about you give me
Miguel Gonzalez.
Miguel Gonzalez. I don't know about. Let me see. One of the things I look at. Let me see. How about you give me
Miguel
this guy?
Gonzalez.
Nah, man. How about you give me. Do I really want him? Yes. AJ Burnett.
You want AJ back?
Yeah.
You like that low ERA, don't you?
Absolutely. He's got a whip that's a little high, but that's okay. I'm asking. Huh? You consider it? I'm gonna send it to you.
I prefer to give you Miguel Gonzalez. That's what I prefer to give the young guy. But continue with the show because we don't have much time.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
If you send me for Verlander for Gonzalez, you got a deal right now. Otherwise, you know how.
You're trying to corner the market on the Detroit pitching staff, but that's okay. That's okay. Anyway, you got the first, second, and third starter, I think. I mean, you got the second and third starter right now in Scherzer and Pfister, but that's all right. Let me put it this way. Okay, we didn't cover the AFC East last week. Are you prepared to cover it now?
Of course I am.
Okay. Well,
I'm always prepared.
Oh boy. Here we go. All right. Well, as you know.
I got a shocker.
You got a shock? You probably don't have much of a shocker as I do, but go ahead. We're going to be talking to people about the AFC East, and once Mr. Gardner and I finish talking about the AFC East, I'm going to be talking about from 25 to 1 what I have rated as the top 25 quarterbacks in fantasy football. And there's some surprises in here. So Mr. Gardner may not be here, but I'm pretty sure he'll listen to the show after he comes back from his engagement this morning.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
No music? I get no music? Wow.
Oh, okay. Boy. Let me see
okay.
now.
I don't need the music. I don't need the music.
I'm you don't need the music.
Hit my music.
Single setback.
Nope, that is it. What is the music?
That's
I'm trying
it.
To think.
Lemonade.
I'm trying to think. Lemonade.
Yeah.
There it is.
All right, ladies
Go ahead.
And gentlemen. In my deep baritone voice, let's hit it. According to Sports Illustrated Fantasy Football Edition, the New York Jets, what a rival coach says behind the enemy lines. When you're talking about fantasy football, oh boy, the Jets have been more like Gilligan's Island than Fantasy Island. They didn't run the ball very well last year. They had a bunch of injuries. They didn't protect very well. They probably have the biggest potential for implosion if they don't start out well. If they start out 0-3 or 1-4, not good. I have no idea what happens with the Jets. It's a mess. Let's say Mark Sanchez is not there. Then they start Geno Smith and let him learn. What they end up doing this year depends on how desperate the organization is. None of the Jets' quarterbacks functioned at a high level last year. Their wide receivers were hurt. They were probably the least talented offensive team besides Arizona. At least Arizona had Larry Fitzgerald. Other than San Antonio Holmes at the skill positions, I don't think you walk in there afraid of anybody on their team. Anybody. Take pressure off the quarterback, especially if they start a younger quarterback. Chris Ivory will have to produce right away. I don't think Joe McKnight is a threat. I think he's a good third down back. Good change of pace back, but I don't think he's a 20 to 25 carry a game guy. You watched on film last year, their receivers were frustrated that the ball didn't get to them on time. Holmes has big playability and can get yards after the catch. He can create on his own. Jeremy Curley is more of an underneath guy. Holmes can just catch the ball and beat you. Jeff Cumberland was there, but I don't remember him doing anything. They're in a tough division. Good luck. Sleeper, and I don't agree with this, Geno Smith, because I don't think he's going to see the field. Bust, Jeremy Curley. Now, I can understand Jeremy Curley being a bust, but when they brought in Braylon Edwards, that gave Mark Sanchez a security blanket. When they brought in Kellen Winslow, that gave Mark Sanchez another security blanket. An upgrade from Dustin Keller and a slight downgrade at receiver with Braylon Edwards, because I still believe San Antonio Holmes is a better receiver when healthy, but the fact is he is not healthy. The Jets have revamped their defense, a bunch of guys. They're not going to be the same 3-4 bust-in-the-mouth type guy. JT, what do you think about what this rival coach had to say?
Well, first of all, for those who don't know, and you got to keep up with the fantasy portion of this, the San Antonio Holmes saga, this talk, and I don't know how substantial this talk is, but this talk that since San Antonio Holmes season may be in jeopardy. He may not even play this season because of the problems he's had physically. So, and even when he was on the field, he wasn't what the Jets expected, or he hasn't been what the Jets expected consistently since he's gotten from the came from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's got largely to do with him not being healthy, largely to do because of the offense, and because his non-rapport with Mark Sanchez, who's not the most accurate quarterback also. So I don't see too many things from my ex-team happening.
Why can you refer to them as your ex-team? You know they're still in the pit of your heart.
No. A little lower, man, and to the backside. How about that?
Okay.
Anyway, this is Rex Ryan's swan song, okay? Two bad seasons back-to-back, not making the playoffs back-to-back after two good seasons that he had a good defense that helped get them to AFC championships games. The true Jets is what you see now, especially on the offensive side. And they haven't done anything except for Chris Ivory, Braylon Edwards, and Kellen Winslow, like you said, are security blankets. Chris Ivory is, in my opinion, the sleeper, not Geno Smith. Geno Smith, I think, is probably going to take over halfway through the season. And I do believe, I really believe he's going to surprise a lot of people in his play. But because of the skill positions and because of the makeup of the offense in the Jets, it can hold him back because of the lack of talent on the outside. And the Kellen Winslow is a shell of himself as a tight end because of those knees that he's had habitual problems ever since he came into the league. I'm not looking for big things for the New York Jets. And I guess we'll get into the schedule, but that's my synopsis of that.
All right, let's get into the schedule. I agree with you. That's why I started with the Jets first.
Mm-hmm.
The next one I talk about is going to surprise you, but I'm talking about these guys in order in which I think they're going to finish. Tampa, at New England, Buffalo, at Tennessee, at Atlanta, Pittsburgh, New England, at Cincinnati, New Orleans. Then they have a bye week. At Buffalo, at Baltimore, Miami, Oakland, at Carolina, Cleveland, at Miami. What do you see in your team's future?
I see a lot of losses and very few wins. They're going up against the NFC South and the AFC North. That's the other teams besides the division games that they're playing. Bad news, my record for the Jets is, and I think I'm being a little generous, but I see the possibility of them getting at least 5 wins and 11 losses, and that say bye-bye to Rex Ryan.
You know what? We're very similar. I see 6-10. They're going to pull an upset or two, but I don't think that they're going to be as potent as Rex or the owner of the Jets wants them to be. Or the CEO of the Jets wants them to be. I think they make the change to Geno Smith right after they play the second game in New England on October 20th. I really think that's what's going to happen. Or they wait to right after the bye week. And when they come back and play Buffalo to say, okay, well, we're not going to be able to win any of these games. We're not going to make the playoffs, so that's when they're going to make the switch. And it's quite possible that they can go 1-3 or 1-4 or maybe 1-5 before, I don't think they're going to win. They might beat Tennessee, but they're going to lose to Tampa, lose to New England, lose to Buffalo, okay? They might beat Tennessee, but they're going to lose to Pittsburgh, lose to New England, and then they have a chance to beat Cincinnati, but it's at Cincinnati, and I don't see that happening.
Nope.
And I don't think they're going to, beat New Orleans, whether
nope.
home or away. So
yep.
I think that, you know, they're looking at one win, possibly two, before the bye week. And it won't be bye-bye Rex. It'll be bye-bye Sanchez, and then at the end of the season, it'll be bye-bye Rex.
Yes.
So.
I have to agree with that. But let me put this caveat in there. early reports from training camp is that Geno Smith is looking sharp. So, you know, hey, anything could possibly. Rex may decide, you know, if I'm going to go out, let's put this rookie in there and see what happens. We know what we got with Sanchez. Let's put this rookie in and see what happens.
I agree with you on that point, mm-hmm. but part of this is I don't think it's going to be the offense that's the reason why they're not going to do well. I think it's going to be the defense.
Really?
I really think it's going to be the defense. The reason why I say that is they're down to their third string corner to start. Their rookie corner has not reported. Okay. Their back end safeties, okay, not that good anymore. LaRon Landry's gone. I forget the guy's name, but their linebackers aren't that good. Their front seven they're just not that good. I think it's going to be a shooting battle every game they have, meaning they're going to have to score a lot of points. I think the offense can average maybe 17 to 20 points a game. With Chris Ivory running the ball, and if Brandon Edwards can you know, concentrate and hold on to the ball, they'll move it. But they're not going to be able to keep up with some of these other teams.
Right.
Their defense is going to be, like, giving up scores left and right.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to ground and pound, but then the other team's going to get the ball back, and they're going to go right down the field.
Sure.
Look who they're playing. Tampa Bay has an explosive offense. Then you got New England, who I think is going to change their offense. Buffalo is a more wide-open offense. Tennessee is going to be a wide-open offense. Atlanta, wide-open, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You've got Pittsburgh, who can be but probably won't be wide-open, but they have potential to do it. Cincinnati's wide-open, and New Orleans. I mean, your defense has to go against those teams who spread you out and throw the ball on you. And
right.
you're down to your third-string corner as your starter, not a good thing in my book. Not
right.
a good thing. But maybe not even 6-10. Maybe, like you said, 5-11. We'll see. Just my thoughts.
Okay.
Now you ready to go to the team? I think it's going to be number 3 in the division. You ready?
What's that?
I need some music.
What's that?
I need some
music. Go right ahead.
We're going to the team. The team that I think is going to be the number 3 team in the division. Hit my music. Maestro.
Okay.
He's not hitting my music.
Yeah, it's there. I can hear it.
Okay. All right. You're going to learn today, ladies and gentlemen. When FSP says the team's going to make a step back, like I said last year, the Saints were going to be abysmal. I told everybody, my cousin and Jerry came on the FSP show and said I was crazy. They said I need to be drug tested. Well, you know what? Maybe they need to be drug tested because I was right. The next team I feel is going to be abysmal this year because they're going to have to change their style of play are your New England Patriots. That's right.
Wow. That is a surprise.
I've got Buffalo and Miami finishing ahead of the Patriots. But let's see what an enemy lines coach has to say about the Patriots. I would say losing Wes Welker will not have an important impact on Tom Brady if Danny Amendola is healthy. If Danny Amendola is healthy,
Danny Amendola is healthy.
It's just a matter of how long it takes Brady and Amendola to get on the same page on nonverbal communication keys. That'll come. Amendola is one of the same mold: quick, explosive, fast, tenacious. Probably in the long run, they have a younger Welker. this is one of those fantasy league sleepers. He'll probably get 80-something catches if he stays healthy. You see, they're saying that, right? New England has rolled a lot of guys through. Randy Moss, Chad Johnson, Brandon Lloyd. I don't think it really matters who's in there as long as Brady is the quarterback. He will make guys look good. The system is pretty good when you have a quarterback who can throw the ball. At full strength, Rob Gronkowski repeats his 2011 numbers. That's easy. I think Gronkowski, well, can't say turn in yet, but he's going to look like or the kid out of who's the Giants tight end. I can't remember his name right now. Maybe Brady goes to Gronkowski because he's a bigger, wider body. But I can't talk about Fernandez because Fernandez isn't there anymore. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. Their tight ends get the bulk of the catches because they're special. Rookie Aaron Dobson and Josh Boyce will probably get the fewest catches. Not anymore. It'll probably be tight ends in the slot and the outside guys at afterthought, I assume. I don't know. That's the way it's been. Steven Ridley had that concussion against Baltimore in the playoffs. He's not a big power back. He's effective for how the Patriots spread you out. I don't know if the Patriots get to the Super Bowl because of their defense. They are talented enough on offense. Yeah. Now, that's what they said. Sweeper Danny Amendola busts Steven Ridley. Here's what I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what I want you to understand. The Patriots are going to change their philosophy.
Yep.
They will not be the fun and gun anymore. You had 17 different receiver combinations on the first day of practice at Patriots camp. 17 different combinations. Gronkowski probably won't be back until week 4 or 5. When he comes back, he's in danger of getting banged up again because he's had so many surgeries, his body hasn't had sufficient time to heal. The defense is probably their better part. With Aqib Talib on one side, they're trying to find out who's going to be the other cornerback. Gerard Mayo, still good. Hopefully we'll get to the individual IDPs on this show sometime once Jerry finishes all the other things, but I'll tell you about the IDPs. I know something about them. But you're going to see a lot of running. A lot of running. That's why they got, like, whoever thinks that Garrett Blunt is not going to make that team, he got cemented when Aaron Hernandez got locked up. Okay? They are going to run the ball. Steven Ridley.
Absolutely.
Not built for the big smash mouth game. It's going to be LeGarrette Blunt left, LeGarrette Blunt right, LeGarrette Blunt up the middle, especially on short yardage. Okay? Steven Ridley's going to come in there. He's going to do his piece when they do try to spread you out, but he is not going to be that effective. I do not think. No one is afraid of the Patriots. If they're young, and they drafted some good receivers out of college, but how many college receivers come in and make big impacts? Whether you got Randy Moss, Steve Young, Joe Montana, whoever the quarterback is, very few. Very few. So what I say to you guys is beware of the Patriot lure. They're not going to be that good this year. They will run the ball. How effectively they do it, I don't know. But I have them coming in third.
Wow.
In the AFC East. Go ahead, JP.
Wow. I don't have them coming in third because this AFC East is weak. And I think one of the teams that you put on the top is a little overhyped, and the expectations are out of control with the one team. But for the Patriots to be labeled third, wow. That's,
I mean,
wait a minute, let me put it this way. I agree with you that they're going to take a step back, and they're not going to be what the Patriots have been in over the years. Because they've taken too many, hits on the offensive side to be able to sustain that that level of play that they've had in the past. So I truly believe that the Patriots, in my opinion, still the better team in the division, but they've come back to the pack more than the other teams have moved ahead, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, that's great. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But you're wrong. You're wrong like you were last year.
Okay.
Just like I said, I saw the impact of Sean Payton and the Saints. I'm telling you, the continual downfall of the Patriots. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to just be a stinker. They're going to be a hard out. Let me put it. They'll be a hard out.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be out. But they will be out. And
okay.
If a jury finds reasonable doubt in the fact that Aaron Hernandez, I'm just saying.
I'm listening.
If a jury finds reasonable doubt that Aaron Hernandez may not have been the shooter or involved in the shooting, they're going to wish they waited just a little bit longer before they cut that dude. Now, will he be in the NFL again? I don't think so. I don't think so. Only because of his past and the fact that he's been linked to something like this. Ray Lewis, at least they knew Ray Lewis didn't pull any triggers. He didn't pull any triggers. He had nothing to do with it. He was just in the car, and he didn't know what went down. That there's a difference there. There's
mm-hmm.
a difference. But you ready to go to the schedule?
Sure. You want me? Go ahead. Or you want me to?
All right.
I can do it. I can do it.
I got it
right in front of me. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go.
Go ahead.
At Buffalo, the Jets, Tampa Bay, at Atlanta, at Cincinnati, New Orleans, at the Jets, Miami, Pittsburgh, bye week, at Carolina, Denver, Houston, Cleveland, at Miami, at Baltimore, and home for Buffalo. And, buddy, I'm going to get your thoughts on what, this, what their record's going to be, but I can see right now where they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
You want my opinion first?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
My opinion on the New England Patriots, I know a lot of people, and I've seen a few sites that give New England Patriots double-digit wins.
Nope.
Ain't happening. With this schedule, their easiest games will be within the division, but they're playing the NFC South and the AFC North, and I see the New England Patriots just over 500, 9-7.
I had them just at 500 or just below 500, 7-9.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you why. Same reason why we're going to see the Jets down there. All the teams they're playing like to spread you out. All the teams they're playing like to run up points. And they're not going to be able to run up points. And
that's exactly my thinking in that.
I mean, depending on how effective their run game is with LeGarrette Blount and Stephen
mm-hmm.
Ridley, that'll tell you, you know, whether or not they're going to be able to grind the ball out. They're not going to be able to do that against New Orleans. Because New Orleans, okay, you score. Then they'll turn around, right back around, and score on you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It doesn't happen that way for the Patriots. At least I don't see it happening that way with them this year. I see a lot of man-to-man coverage on those receivers until those receivers prove that they can scare somebody. You know? So,
mm-hmm.
7-9, maybe even 6-10.
Wow.
But
I don't see them falling that big.
They'll be down there with the Jets, homie.
Wow.
They'll be down there with the Jets.
Wow. Wow.
And that's what I got.
What I got. Okay, that's a shock, man. That's definitely a shock. But, okay.
All right.
Let's move on. Let's move on. Yeah?
I need my music, man.
Oh, I'm
Can
sorry.
Get his music?
I'm sorry. Here we go.
There we go. Lemonade. Buffalo Bills time. I think Buffalo is going to finish number two in the AFC East. There's a couple reasons why, but let me read what a rival coach has to say
mm-hmm.
behind the enemy lines. A lot depends on new head coach Doug Maryland. It's not yet clear what system they'll use and which quarterback. I think they're going to be a totally different offense than they were last year with Chan Gailey. They ran more spread, a lot of 4 and 5 wide receiver sets. If they want to go young, they could start DJ Manuel and figure they can grow with him. That's a classic approach when you've got a brand new coach and you're going to give him time. I start the rookie and let him grow. I think they've upgraded their skill positions with speed and drafting Robert Woods and Marquise Goodwin. If Manuel turns out to be the real thing, they had a good draft. C.J. Spiller is a very talented running back. He has quick feet, good hands, speed, vision, power. He also has elusiveness. We like everything about this game. He's a complete back. He can run, catch, and block. Fred Jackson is another guy who has a very good package of hands and speed. I didn't realize that he was 32 years old.
That's yes, shocking. He is.
Let's see if he can stay healthy. I've seen Steve Johnson develop from a rookie, and his maturity level has gone up with his game. He has the potential to be a very good player. If he could take control of a game, he's got the ability to start and stop, to make cuts on a dime. He's got a great push-off move. He thinks very highly of himself, meaning he's got a lot of confidence. Some of it's self-promotion to let people know, hey, I'm a pretty good player, but I just happen to be buried in Buffalo. If Johnson were in Pittsburgh playing the game the same way, he would not have to talk. Now, the sleeper as they have it, Steve Johnson, the bust, no surprise here, Kevin Kolb. But I don't think Kevin Kolb is going to be the starter. I think they're going to come out the gate with DJ Manuel.
Mm-hmm.
And why do I think that? Because he gives them the ability to do what the Skins did with RG3.
Yep.
Listen to what I'm saying here. This is what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. Alfred Morris was a beast. C.J. Spiller has already proven to be a beast. If you put him in the same type of system, which E.J. did in Florida State, and E.J. also was an underneath quarterback. He got underneath the center a little bit, too. And you let C.J. Spiller, who people already know is a threat, if you give him the ball or fake the ball to him, you're going to have an open Stevie Johnson. You're going to have an open Chris Chandler, even though Chandler, the tight end, is a little nicked up. But he's about 6'7".
Mm-hmm.
He's a big body target. He got, I think, how many red zone targets? He got 8 red zone targets last year, 4 touchdowns. He led the Buffalo Bills with red zone touchdowns and 8 targets. Stevie Johnson had 16 targets in the red zone. E.J. Manuel gives you that threat to run. He gives you that threat to run. I think the Buffalo Bills defense is going to be vastly improved from last year because you've got some people on that side that are willing to sacrifice going from a 3-4 to a 4-3. You're going to see Mario Williams go after it. Him and DeMarcus, I forgot my guy out of Alabama, the defensive tackle. But you're going to put them on the same side. They're going to kill the quarterback in a 4-3. Listen to what I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen. Buffalo will surprise a lot of people. And their schedule is not that bad. It's not that bad. So look for Buffalo, in my opinion. It's been...
You still there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I have to disagree with you. Because Buffalo is Buffalo. I understand that there's a new regime there. I understand that they got, I wouldn't say an exciting quarterback, but they drafted a quarterback in the first round. I think he was drafted 14, if I'm not mistaken, maybe higher. I can't exactly remember when he was drafted, but he was drafted. That was their number one pick. And I do agree with you that because they drafted him at number one, they had intentions of him being the number one quarterback of the, starting week one. But I said it to the other two teams in the AFC East, and I'll say it again. They play the AFC South and the NFC North. I mean, AFC North. So they play the NFC South and the AFC North. And the teams in both of those divisions have some explosive offenses. And Buffalo is not an explosive offense. I truly believe they're going to have trouble scoring the football. They may be able to move up and down the field, but getting it into the end zone is the whole point of playing the game. Score more points than the other team. And when you play the NFC North with Atlanta, with New Orleans, and with it could be either one of these guys, and I think either one of these teams, Tampa Bay or Carolina, is going to surprise and be a lot stronger offensively than they've been in the past. They're going to have problems keeping up with those teams. Not to say that they won't have problems with Pittsburgh, with Baltimore, or with Cincinnati, keeping up offensively with those teams. So with a new coach, with a rookie quarterback, I don't see them making the strides to be number two in the division, like my fellow co-host says. I think they're going to be a little lower, not on the bottom, but I think they're going to be fighting for second or third, but with a losing record.
The church says no, ma'am. Of course, I'm no longer part of no, ma'am, just to let you know. I had to cleanse my system.
Is that right?
But, yeah, dude. It was a tough decision to make. But let's move forward in the in the schedule. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is why I think that they're going to finish second in the AFC East by this first game. They're going to upset New England at home, first game of the season. That's going to set it off, and they're going to have a very – they're going to go in their first month, they'll go 3-1. Buffalo will be 3-1, in my opinion. New England, Carolina, at the Jets, Baltimore, at Cleveland, Cincinnati, at Miami, at New Orleans, Kansas City, at Pittsburgh, the Jets, then they have a bye week. Come back, Atlanta, at Tampa, at Jacksonville, Miami, finish up at New England. Now, ladies and gentlemen,
that's tough.
What's going to be screaming from? It is, because you start the season with New England and you end the season with New England. You start the season with a win, you end the season with a win. Yes, I think Buffalo will finally sweep the Patriots. I also think that Buffalo will end up 9-7.
Wow.
9-7.
Wow.
9-7.
Wow.
I'll go over my wins. Count my wins, Jerry. Count my wins. New England, Buffalo, the Jets, Cleveland, the Jets again, Jacksonville, Miami, New England, and I had one more there. Although, it was either a toss-up between Kansas City and shocking Tampa Bay, how many I get?
Well, you have New England. You say New England, Carolina, and the Jets. You say Cleveland, the New York Jets again, Jacksonville, Miami, and New England. That's eight.
Yeah, so I got a toss-up in there, one of the two. So, yeah, 8-8, 9-7. That's about right, 8-8, 9-7.
Wow.
8-8, 9-7. That's what I got.
Wow. okay.
Don't hate.
I have them 5-11. I can't see it. I can't
really
see. I have them 5-11. Absolutely. I'm looking at the schedule. They play the AFC North and the NFC South. I cannot get past. This is Buffalo. I understand they've got a new regime there. I understand they got playmakers in the defensive side. I understand they got playmakers on the offensive side. They got a rookie quarterback. You think their rookie quarterback's going to do the same thing Robert Griffin III did with the Washington Redskins? Not the same skill set.
Correct.
And that's the problem I have. He's not the same skill set, and that rookie's going to cause them to lose some games. And I think besides the rookie play, the team, the makeup of the team, is not quite there yet to be a 500 team or 7-9 or 9-7. It's not quite there. Not quite there.
It's all right. You're entitled to your flawed opinion.
Okay. Okay. Well, we got one more team.
Listen. I know. I just wanted to say that I think that because I'm not saying he's going to do what RG3 did. What I'm saying is with C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson and a better set of wide receivers than RG3 had,
mm-hmm.
you have the potential in a year that the Patriots will be weak to jump above the Patriots and be a competitor again in the AFC East. I'm not a Buffalo Bills fan. I'm not.
Neither am I.
But I think that what they have there, if E.J. Manuel is the quarterback, not Kevin Call, if E.J. Manuel is the quarterback, they have the potential to go 9-7, 8-8. If Cobb is the quarterback, then you're right. They're going to go 5-11 if he's the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the way I feel. And, you know, I am the guru, the master. Well, no, you're the master. I'm the guru. I prefer that. Gurus are always known as geniuses.
Yeah, okay. Right. Well, right. The record, I'm looking at the record of the New England Patriots versus the Buffalo Bills from 2003 to 2010. And it's 15-9. Yes, very, extremely lopsided. And you're telling me they're going to sweep them this year?
Yep.
Ah.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Okay.
All right. It's time to go to the last team in the AFC East, who I believe will win the AFC East. A lot of people think this will make vast.
Don't buy into the hype.
Well.
Don't buy into the hype. But go ahead.
Buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
You get my music.
It's on, man. It's on.
All right, well, you get ready to play it again. Here we go. Miami Dolphins, enemy Lions, what a rival coach says. We came at Ryan Tannehill with a lot of stuff last year, and he didn't seem to rattle. He showed poise and he had accuracy. He's young, but he seems to make the right decisions. He seems to be smart. I don't remember Lamar Miller and Daniel Thomas, which said something right there. I remember Reggie Bush. We worried about him. We didn't game plan for their other backs. Mike Gillisley, is a guy who's big enough and can pick up the blitz, but will he be able to catch? And Mike Wallace, Ryan Hartline, and Brandon Gibson, they've got good, experienced guys who know how to play. Signing Wallace from the Steelers was huge. He's a game changer. He's a speed guy who can catch the ball. He works hard at his craft, and he can expand the field and create separation. When you throw the ball deep, you're not going to overthrow him because he'll go get the ball. Hartline runs great routes. And he's great. He has great hands and quickness. He's probably classified as an overachiever, which is great. You love to have a team of those. He's not a guy you fear as you go into the game, but at the end of the game, you think, wow, how did he get so many catches and so many yards? I was surprised he didn't have more touchdowns last year, but the Dolphins didn't score a lot of touchdowns. I think the number one thing they're going to work on is their red zone efficiency. But the closer he gets to the red zone, the more they beat up on him. And he can't use that quickness. Dustin Keller is a solid all-around tight end, but you don't game plan and say, oh, shoot, what's he going to do? How do we stop him? You just play your game. All right, here we go. Sleeper, Daniel Thomas, bust, Brian Hartline. I don't agree with either one of those. Daniel Thomas is not a real threat in my book. He's going to be that change of pace back, because Lamar Miller, that kid, he's going to turn a lot of eyes this year.
I believe that.
And Brian Hartline is that possession receiver. He is your underneath guy. You can put Mike Wallace deep, and you got Chris Givens, who is, excuse me, Brandon Gibson, who is also a deep threat. He's a deep slash intermediate threat. His thing is catching the ball and holding on to it. I mean, that's the thing. Once he gets the ball in his hands, that kid can fly. You add Gibson, Keller to the mix. I guess they've given up on Fasano, which I think is a bad idea. Don't give up on Fasano just yet. And you add the fact that I think their defense is going to be better this year. I see Miami winning the East and, dare I say, being the most dominant team in the East.
Ooh.
As far as division record goes.
Mm.
I'm on that tip right now. But go ahead, JT. What do you think about what the coach had to say?
Well, I think the Miami Dolphins have substantially picked up their skill level at the skill positions. Their defense has been pretty, for the most part, stellar over the last couple of seasons. And the problem was the one thing with the quarterback, and it seemed like they've got their franchise quarterback now, just a matter of developing him. And they've had some speed on the outside with their wide receivers, Gibson and Wallace and whoever else is out there. And they have experienced tight end, and along with a young, strong, big, strapping running back who still has problems, I think, running too upright, and it could lend itself to some injury. But there's a lot of upside for these Miami Dolphins. I have to give it to that. But the issue I still have is the quarterback. He made a lot of strides last year. They're looking for him to make more strides this year. I can see them fighting for second and third in a division. I still can't see them on the positive side of a record. I still think they're going to be on the negative side of a record. And like I said earlier, I think New England has come down more in talent and then the Buffalo Bills and Miami have moved up to compete with New England to get the division crown. So, but it is going to be played out come the first week of the NFL season because the we'll see what New England brings out against Buffalo. Since you picked Buffalo to be number two and New England number three, that's going to be, in my opinion, a big week, even though it's just week one. And we'll see what Miami's made of, because they're going against a upstart team that's on the rise with a new offensive coordinator against Cleveland on the road. So we'll see how this thing is going to shake out for the most part. Week one in the AFC East, who's going to set the tone first? But I still see Miami on the negative side of a record.
Okay. Hey, you're entitled to your feeble opinion. But I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
The guru speaks. The guru speaks. Here we go.
Okay.
And I agree with you. Week one is going to be pretty exciting for the AFC East because Buffalo's going to upset New England, and Cleveland is going to go down to Miami. The Jets will lose as well.
And they play Revis in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that'd be
a exciting week, man, in the AFC East. First week right out the bat. So.
Yeah, but I have Cleveland and Miami being one of the better games of the week, but I think Miami wins. And here's the thing. I think Miami's going to go 2-3 to begin the season, and then they get their bye week.
Wow.
They'll come back. Yes, they're going to go 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come back, and then they're going to smash off some teams. They're going to beat Buffalo. They're going to beat New England. Okay. It's going to be a tough game with Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati wins. I think that Monday night game against Tampa, I think they beat Tampa at Tampa. They beat San Diego. They beat Carolina. They beat the Jets. They lose to Pittsburgh. Then they lose to New England. They beat Buffalo. And they finish out the season beating the Jets. That's 10-6 or 9-7. And they win the AFC East.
I have Miami Dolphins. Before the bye week, they win one game. One game. They beat Cleveland in Cleveland. They're going to lose to Indianapolis in the Dome in Indy. They're going to lose to ATL. They're going to lose at New Orleans. And they're going to lose to Baltimore.
Agreed.
Before they go into the bye. So, and then it's going to be a mishmash of games after the bye week, which is going to result in the same and that's why I'm saying these teams are the developing teams. And I understand they've got a lot of talent. A lot of people have bought into the hype. I'm not buying into the hype until I see it play out on the field and wins. I still say it's getting the lower class, but the class of the division is the New England Patriots. I still say New England Patriots have come down more than the two teams that you're talking about, Buffalo and Miami, have come up. So, I still say that Buffalo, the Jets, Miami are all competing for roughly the same record, 5-11, 6-10, maybe Miami. But Miami's not going to be on the positive side of a winning record. Who they play? This
okay,
is difficult. This is difficult. Understand this. This is difficult divisions for the AFC
Correct.
East because of the fact they're playing the NFC North, which that division scores a lot of points, and they're playing the AFC. They play the NFC South, and they're playing the AFC North. Which it's difficult because these guys in the AFC North play good defense and have the ability to put up points. These teams that are developing, these teams that are developing are trying to put up points. They haven't been able to put up points in a consistent manner. Buffalo and Miami, you're telling them they're going to make a huge leap from where they were last year to this year? And the teams that they play outside of their division, I can't see it. All I can see
is
5-11.
Do you smell it?
5-11, 6-10. I can't see them getting more than 6 wins. I can't see them getting more than 6 wins. Because
JD,
who they play.
Again. Do you smell it? Because I smell it. I smell a number with it, too.
We got a lot of things going here, man.
This will be definitive. This will be definitive. You're saying they won't get over 6 wins. I'm saying there will be 6 wins or better.
No. I'm not. I just said 6 wins, 6-10. So no.
You said 5-11.
I said 5-11, 6-10. I put down on paper 5-11. But, I mean, there's always can be a fluke win. They can always win 6 games. So I'm just saying they're going to be on a negative side. I said this more than once. They're going to be on a negative side of a record.
Okay. So 7 is the number that we're looking at here, right? We're looking at 7 wins, right?
Okay. You're not pulling me in like that.
I've learned my lesson. No.
You are not pulling me in like that.
No, I'm not pulling you in. All I'm saying is 7 is the magic number, and if you make that a 200, that's what I'm saying.
Oh no! We already have one of those with Detroit. You're saying Detroit?
Oh, I forgot. Detroit, yeah. Detroit won't get over 6 wins. Yeah, Detroit won't get over 6 wins.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, Detroit will be 6-10, and I'll be happy with that. But I'm trying to give you an opportunity. I'm trying to give you an opportunity to flip that and break even, because you're definitely going to lose that other one. Hello?
I'm listening to you. I'm listening, but I'm not listening.
I'm saying.
I'm listening, but I'm not listening.
Okay.
Because I'm not going there. I am not going there. I am not going there.
Trump the master.
You haven't Trump the master? You have not
Trump
me.
I always do. I always do.
No, you don't always, but no. I'm telling you right now.
How many have you won, Jerry? Three? Two? No, I'll give you two. You won two. I've won how many? Like five? Six? Of our wages? I mean, come on. The guru has trumped the master.
No.
And you're playing, I understand.
Let me put it this way. Let me put it this way. We go with the one that I already have, that I think that the Detroit is going to win more than five games. So if they win six games, here it is.
No.
I wrote it down. Huh?
I said because you remember we had that same deal here. Like there might be a fluke game, so it has to be six. It was 6-10.
It was six and ten. Wait a minute. They were six and ten last year.
No, they weren't.
Hold on.
They were 4-12.
They were four and twelve last year.
Yeah. Because remember, I changed my mind when I was listening to my cousin, and you said, okay, see, now you're gonna change your mind. I was like, yeah. And we said, okay. So 6-10. If they go 6-10, I still win because they didn't get over six wins.
They didn't get below six wins either.
So that's the break-even point?
That's the break-even point, absolutely.
All right, that's the push. Okay, 6-10 is a push. 6-10 is a push. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
6-10 is a push.
But
So we're doing that here too, right? Okay, good. Good job.
No, you just said that. You just tried to put it. I agreed. No, I didn't. I said no. N-O. More than once. N-O. And you know that negative.
No for who?
Negative.
No for what?
No for Miami.
And no for. Come on, JT. That's not good business.
We have a long time, but we have some time. And when are you leaving? Next week?
Next Sunday, yes.
Oh my God. So am I doing your Saturday show from now on until the end of October?
Not.
Whenever you come.
I gotta see what my schedule's like. I don't think so, but I gotta see what my schedule's like. But this upcoming Saturday, I gotta work, so we can do a rerun. We can do this show.
Okay.
We can do whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
We can do
this
show next week.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm not going to. You know, I didn't think this was going to be an hour and a half, but it is an hour and 45 minutes right now, and. There's no way I'm going to be doing quarterbacks, so we're going to have to push this back. Oh boy, we're going to have to push it back, which is fine. I can double up on tight ends and wide receivers, not next week, but the following week, and do quarterbacks, either quarterbacks or tight ends next week.
Or you can do one show Saturday and then the next show Sunday instead of doing a rerun.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, I can do that. I can. In fact, that's what I'll do. On next Saturday, on the FSP show, which is 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, since Mr. Gardner will not be in attendance and I will, I'll start my fantasy skill positions with the quarterbacks on Saturday. I'll do the wide receivers. Or tight ends. I think I'll do wide receivers on Sunday, and that way it'll keep with the regular schedule of me ending up, I think, on the 18th of August with the running backs. So that being said, I think that's a good schedule. I think that'll be a good thing here. So thank you for that input and that suggestion. I was going to give you a compliment. For once, it was a backhanded compliment. For once, you gave me a good suggestion, and I'm sending you a trade here, and hopefully you'll take it.
Well, you send me Verlander and Gomez, I'll send you AJ.
Oh no, you just dismissed Mr. Gomez because he happened to be Yeah, you dismissed him. You quickly, once you realized that what his latest batting average was over a few period of games, you decided to dismiss him, saying, "I don't want that because he's not worth it." When all batters, all players, especially everyday players, go through a little lull, and he was nursing some injuries that he had, and right now he's back on form, and he's playing well. Let me put it that way, huh?
Only way you're getting AJ. Only way you're getting AJ is you can send me Verlander and Gomez.
Stop, man.
I'll throw another player in, but you're not getting AJ without Verlander and Gomez. That's all I'm saying.
Stop. So. You know, Vic, that ain't even close to being halfway even equal. That isn't even close.
That's why I said pick another player. I'll give you James Glooney if that's who you want. But
no, you're not getting Gomez. You can forget that. That's not happening.
Okay.
Gomez is an all-star. I got all-stars up and down my lineup. My all-stars are not leaving. My everyday players.
Aren't you losing this week too?
No, I'm not. I'm up 13 or 12-9 right now. I'm up 12-9. Let me put it that way. So I'm on the edge right now, and my pitching is killing me. But you can't do anything about that right now. So I mean, but my pitching is really hurting me. My hitting is very dominant in every matchup I have for the most part, but my pitching is killing me. And I'm trying to find a right combination of pitchers and hoping Mr. Cueto and Mr. Buchholz come back sometime soon.
You should have traded them to me when I asked for them.
What can I tell you? I mean, I'm holding on to them because sooner or later these guys are going to come back, and I think they'll help me. As long as I can hold on to them and get a decent seating and stay in the playoff hunt, I got a good shot. But pitching is still, I'm falling into the same rut that you have, man. Pitching is tough. Oh my God. Oh God. I didn't realize these two guys when I traded for Buchholz, I think he gave me one or two starts and he went down and it's been like a month and a half and he's been down. Which is tough. And then Cueto up and down. He's like a yo-yo, which is killing me. So that's one of the reasons why I got rid of Latos, because I figured I had a good one in Cueto, and I had some decent pitching. And then freaking Mr. Cueto decides, you know what? My quad still hurt me, and I'm going to take a couple of times to get on and off the DL list. So if you can bear with me, hopefully I can help you later in the season. But right now, I'm on the DL. So, hey, what can I tell you? And I've been trying to stream pitchers to make up for it. And every time it seemed like I pulled the pitcher, he decides to blow up and give me the worst outing of the season. So, and that's inflated my ERA and my WHIP. So. Which is quite naturally when that happens, it equates to losses. So, I think I'm in the bottom. If I'm not in the bottom, I'm next to last in the overall rankings of pitching in the league. So, and that's really what's holding me back. So,
all right.
But it is what it is. So we'll see what happens.
Gonzalez for Verlander is all you'll get.
You know what, Mr. Verlander is worth more than Mr. Gonzalez, and you know that.
Okay.
You know that.
Well, not right now, he isn't.
You know that. Yeah, but
not right
but
now.
At any point, he can turn it around, and he'll be the Justin Verlander of old. And I don't think it's going to happen like it happened like the last few years, but I think he still has a lot left in the tank, and he's just in a slump, a pitching slump, a pitching funk, I should say.
So wouldn't you rather him be on somebody else's team than on your team with that slump?
Yeah, but I'm not giving him away for nothing. And Miguel Gonzalez and A.J. Burnett, two different pitchers, man. Two different pitchers.
Okay.
And I'd rather have A.J. Burnett than Miguel Gonzalez, and you know that. So you're going to try to rip me off by giving me Miguel Gonzalez. Come on, man.
That's
come
not
on.
Ripping you off. Yeah, one bat out of his last six, and that's ripping you off, whereas Verlander has had one good outing out of his last five. Who's ripping who off? Okay, all right.
Wait a minute now. But that's Justin Verlander versus Miguel Gonzalez, who's 8-4.
Mm-hmm.
His ERA is not that much lower than Verlander's. His K's is a lot substantially lower than Verlander, and his walks, his K's to walks are very close, extremely too close. He's got 79 K's and 35 walks, which is like that's twice as many K's to walks. Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. It's passable, but that definitely isn't good, and you know that. That's.
And what is Verlander's again?
What is Verlander? Let me see what Verlander's is, and I'll tell you right off the bat because I got it right in front of me. Hold on a minute here. Mr. Verlander's got over 100, 120, 130 strikeouts, if I'm not mistaken. And
he's at 122.
Okay, hold on a minute. Let me just look at. Stop.
The
he's got 132 Ks and 51 walks. 51
not
walks.
Bad. That's not bad.
Not bad? Come on.
How many wins does he have?
10.
How many losses?
Eight losses.
Say 10 and 8 versus 8 and 4. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. But they're not comparable. Okay.
I'm looking at K's versus walks and WHIP. And the WHIP in Mr. Verlander is a 141. The WHIP in Mr. Gonzalez is 122, which is a substantial difference in the WHIP. K's is not even close, which is very substantial. Meaning he's still striking out guys, but he's allowing a lot more hits that are damaging than in the past. That's in the past.
Okay.
And that equates to his ERA a tick below 4. So he's worth more than a Mr. Miguel Gonzalez, and you know it. You know it.
Okay. Well,
you know
saying.
It. You're not going to get him that cheap. No way, no how.
Yeah. JT, all I can say is you need to get rid of Verlander. I want Verlander.
Well, you want Verlander, then you got to give up. You got to give to get. And what you're giving is not worth me giving Mr. Verlander to you like that. You got to give me something comparable to him, and that's an A.J. Burnett. Want him. That's an A.J. Well, then we keep on going back and forth. Because you always have a price tag that's extremely high. You want the penthouse for a low rent apartment.
Hey,
and that ain't happening.
Priceline.com, Hotwire.com, Orbit.
Yeah, you want the penthouse for for
Now
you you went to penthouse for Section 8.
Section 8, you want the penthouse,
but you want to pay Section 8 prices. Let me put it that way. Hello?
Well, I'm here. I'll tell you that regardless of what you feel, you're the one that needs to let the dudes go. I'm comfortable with my pitching staff and my bat. It just so
you
happens
are.
That I do want Mr. Verlander so I can have the top 1, 2, 3 pitches of Detroit Lions. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Detroit Tigers. You're
mm-hmm.
absolutely right, I want that. But I'm no slouch when it comes to my pitchers. I have 3 solid closers. I have 4 top-notch pitchers. And the rest of my pitchers, they're doing quite well. So, you know, I'll climb out of my hole. I'll make the playoff.
You won't make the playoffs.
There'll be a
reckoning. You're not making the playoffs. Come on, Vic, come
okay.
on. You're 12th. You're 12th. And you're not even close to being 11th. You're not even close
yes,
to being
11th. I will be. That's all you need to know.
You're not even close. The 11th player is playing me right now. He's got 150. Okay? Even if he loses and he gets 8 or 9, he's going to have 159, almost 160. You win, you only have 135 or whatever.
It's okay.
I'll make the comeback. Okay. You're not making the playoffs. You see right now the number six person who's going to be making the playoffs is the division winner in the East. The number six is the division winner in the East. That means
so Jerry, that means I'm going to win my division because I'm in the East.
You won't win your division. He's number six. He's the last person to get into the playoffs. Am I right about that?
Yes, you are.
Okay. So that means you have to climb over the division winner to win. That means you have to win the division or at least get the fifth seed. You're not getting the fifth seed. You got to get the sixth seed. And that's not happening. You're 39 games behind the division leader right now. And he's the number six seed. You're not making the playoffs.
I have faith.
There's nothing wrong with faith, but faith is not going to get you to win. I'm sorry to tell you that. You made a nice contribution, just like a lot of other players, 12th, 11th, 9th, and 10th. But the fight for the playoffs is between 1 through 7 right now. And I'm glad that you put me in the West because in the Central is the
tough.
Wow.
It's tough.
1, 3, 5, and 7. That's definitely the toughest division in here. And it's a doggy dog in that division. And it's a shame because all those guys have winning records. And there's going to be at least one of them that won't make it. Unless somebody in the
probably
West.
Two of them aren't going to make it.
We'll see what happens. I mean, because it's a lot of them can change hands in the next few weeks. I think we're in week 16, so we only have 4 or 5 weeks left or whatever it is.
Six weeks left.
Okay. All right. That means you would have to substantially win every week on out to even have a remote chance. And I'm saying remote. It's a remote chance. And when you meet up against me, you sure ain't going to beat me, so I'm not even worried about that.
I think that's the last week.
Let me see what the schedule is. That's the last week.
Schedule. Let me see.
You played me last week. Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Good. So I get the win.
Okay.
It's only 5 weeks left. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, six. It's 6 weeks. Because I'm counting this week.
I'm counting as 5 weeks. 5 weeks left after this week. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, five.
Yeah, five weeks left.
Mm-hmm. 5 weeks left after this week. So we'll see what happens. I'm fighting for my life, too, so I may not make the playoffs because the way
I'll be
going
to knock you out.
Yeah, that would be so you would just love that. And some of these league members would just, they just can't wait to talk a whole bunch. Because I know Hakuna Tata is gloating because he gave me Verlander already. So that's okay, though. That's okay. That's all right. I got a few up my sleeve that I'm waiting, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully they can come along and see what happens. There's still some stuff going on, and we'll see what happens. We're on overtime now. How about that? We're on overtime. Unbelievable. Okay. Well, let me get back to setting my lineup here. And unfortunately, Mr. Ortiz decided to go. Did you hear about Mr. Ortiz?
Yes, I did. I saw what happened. He had a right to go off, but not like he did. I mean, he almost hit Dustin Pedroia with the bat and shrapnel from the – I mean, I understand the ump has a right to not give him the timeout, but that was definitely a ball, but the ump called it a strike. And, you know, if he was going to continue drawing and stuff like that, got it. But Ortiz, when he gave his interview, it was more on the lines of, I've been in the league 17 years, da-da-da-da-da. I don't play defense. I don't do this. All I do is hit, and you're not going to take my bat away from me like that. I mean, I understand that, and he has a right, but at the same time, he'll probably get some type of reprimand, whereas the ump won't, or won't be public, because that ump definitely, you know, he called a strike when it was clearly a ball. Clearly.
Really?
But, in my opinion, it was.
Okay. All right. I didn't see. I just saw him going off on a replay online. I didn't see the whole sequence of him at bat and him calling a timeout. You say he called a timeout and the ump didn't allow it and the ball was up near his head and they called a strike. Is that what happened?
Yeah, pretty much. He was stepping out of the box. But the pitcher had already started his windup, and the pitch got delivered, and it was up by the head of the catcher. It was, like, right above the helmet of the catcher. So it definitely was out of the strike zone.
Wow.
You know? So, and the ump called a strike. So.
Wow.
He did not allow the timeout, and he called it a strike, so that's what it is.
Okay. Well, I have to give the benefit of the doubt to Ortiz because he's not the type of guy to just go off arbitrarily unless he got jerked around, and I guess he felt he got jerked around there, so by the ump.
Yeah, I don't think it was a jerk around, but I think it was a bad call, and it as Ortiz says, he doesn't do anything but hit the ball. When you give him a strikeout, because there were several pitches after that one pitch.
Sure, I understand that.
But when you put him in a hole like that, he's going to have to swing it crap. And, you know, whatever the case may be. So, I understand.
All right, Mr. Gardner, if I don't talk to you again, and I don't know if you're going to be on next week. I don't know if you're going to be on Thursday or...
I'll be on a plane Sunday, and Saturday I'll be at work.
Okay, so...
I'll try to catch you guys during the week, though.
Okay, well, if not, then have a safe trip. I know you'll keep in touch one way or the other through Facebook or text or email or
draft,
whatever.
Draft, baby.
We have the draft on a Friday. Is that what it is? It's on a Friday? Or is it on Thursday?
We have We have a draft on Saturday, and then the draft during the master plan on which one is it? It's Yahoo is during Saturday's show. ESPN is during the master plan.
Hold on a minute here. Let's see. All right. On August 2nd, which is next week, next Thursday, we have a draft. The NFL columnist draft, the league.
Oh yeah.
That's August 2nd.
If you feel it.
Okay. Well, for those, I don't have anybody listening. I had somebody in the chat room, but they're not listening anymore. But for any of those who catch the archives, who would like to join a fantasy football league, it's Joe's versus Pros. You want to test your knowledge of fantasy football, your expertise of fantasy football against us and the FSP and others, drop me an email. It's J Taylor, the letter J, not J-A-Y or whatever you want to say. It's J, as in the letter J, Taylor, that's one word, T-A-Y-L-O-R, J Taylor 342 at Comcast.net. Drop me an email. Vic is the commissioner. I'll relay the message to him that you want to join. I've had two guys that said they want to join. I relayed the message to Vic, and they backed out. So when you come and you say you want to come into the league, don't back out. Let's do this. Let's do this. If you want to join, be sincere and join. Don't just talk a game, back up the game by joining the league and participating. Mr. Gardner, you have anything?
I strongly agree with what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to say you have prowess and you think you're good and stuff like that, that means you're good at any format, not just the format you're accustomed to. Don't be afraid of something that's new. Don't be afraid of it. We'll get to it. We'll try it. We'll do it. I mean, yeah, we try different formats all the time. But,
right.
That's because we're ready and able to do so. Don't be stuck in your shell. Don't be stuck in your bubble. Come get humiliated by me.
And I just got invited to partner up with someone in the Yahoo League with a $200 buy-in.
Really?
Yes, sir. It's an offline draft on the 19th of August in a local bar, tavern or whatever, restaurant. And I will be participating in that. So, and it's a Yahoo League.
Don't be spending my bet money now. The money you're going to be paying me. Don't be spending my money now.
So, the reason I said that is just along the same lines that I'm trying to, something different here. I'm partnering up with someone in a Yahoo League, which I don't play too many Yahoos. You're the only one besides this other league I'm playing in, is in a Yahoo League. So trying something different here and to see how it works out. So,
Yeah.
So it is what it is. With that being said, Mr. Gardner, take us out of here.
For the guru, that will be me. For the master, that will be JT. You've been listening to the Master Plan, and I'm quite sure he's got something funky for you to end the show.
Just like I started, is the way I'm going to end it. I want it all.
I just want it all. Right, I don't wear a tie, but they say I let a boss like I just want it all. Pool in a bad bitch, way back then, thought that we would never have.